The euro continues to wallow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The euro is near four-year lows against the U.S. dollar today. German Chancellor Angela Merkel says greater cooperation on financial regulation could help give it a boost. The Germans held a conference in Berlin just a day after the government unilaterally banned speculative investments. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London with a global perspective now. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So what are the Germans worried about in terms of the euro? Are they worried that the euro will fail?
Yes, Angela Merkel said if Europe doesn't tackle this crisis, the euro could fail. The French finance minister promptly rejected that, saying the euro is not in danger. And this underlines a fundamental problem for the single currency, a growing split between Germany and France, the two most important countries in the eurozone.
So we obviously have, you know, differing public sentiments, statements, but could the euro really split up?
It's certainly not impossible. In fact, it's more probable than at any time in its history. But most commentators still say it's highly unlikely. Germany, for example, has gained enormously from being able to export to its neighbours in the one currency. Here's Jan Randolph of IHS Global Insight.
The Eurozone project is in Germany's long-term interests, and they will do their utmost. And I think the French as well will do their utmost to preserve the euro.
Nevertheless, he says, the Eurozone faces some very hard choices. Either the southern members, like Greece, Spain, Italy, become more like Germany, or some of them pull out of the euro. This currency really is between a rock and a hard place. I mean, the Greeks are not going to become more cautious or as prudent as the Germans. Greece isn't Germany. That's why it's called Greece. So it could mean some countries pulling out, and that's going to be very messy.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us from London this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Stocks in Europe are lower at the moment. Shares right now in Germany off about 0.6%. Same for shares in France. FTSE is pretty much flat. Asian shares closed lower today. Japanese, Chinese, and Korean markets taking hits of 1 to 1.5%. Wall Street yesterday, stocks lost even more ground. The NASDAQ tumbled, as did the S&P. The Dow was off more than 0.5%. 66 points to close at 10,444. Oil prices are back up to above 70 bucks a barrel after tanking the last few days. For the month of May, prices have dropped by nearly 20%. The fight against an invasive fish continues today in the state of Illinois. The federal government's given that state $78 million to stop Asian carp from taking over the waters there. Now, many fear the fish could wipe out the Great Lakes fishing industry if it reaches Lake Michigan. Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold has more.
Good old-fashioned nets haven't stopped the fish. Neither have electrical barriers submerged in water. So today, for the second time, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources will dump chemicals into an Illinois river that should kill all fish in a two-mile stretch. Chris McLeod is a department spokesman.
We need to find out what the population is and how big of a problem it may or may not be.
The worry is the carp will take over Lake Michigan and beyond. The fish has caused a battle between Illinois and other Great Lakes states that fear the carp would ruin the region's roughly $7 billion sport fishing industry. Joy Yearout is with Michigan's Attorney General's office. She says today's chemical dump doesn't go far enough.
It's good, but it's not comprehensive. There are so many more basic short-term steps that we could be taking to address Asian carp.
Michigan's Attorney General has tried to force Illinois to close waterways leading into Lake Michigan. But Chicago business groups say if that happens, it would halt billions of dollars of goods now shipped on the waterways. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at GoToMeeting.com/market. And by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store.
Facebook is expected to deliver a mea culpa of sorts as early as today. The social networking giant has made a number of changes to its privacy information, to its privacy policy, I should say, allowing it to share users' information. And as reporter Janet Babin explains, a lot of those users are concerned.
Syracuse University grad student Anastasia Kilobradova spends her time researching new media. But even she didn't catch Facebook's recent privacy changes right away. She was automatically opted in to the Instant Personalization Program. It's where Facebook shares your preferences with companies Yelp, Pandora, and Microsoft without permission.
I never selected that I would share my information with those people. I had to go back and unshare. And I don't know how long my information was shared with Facebook's select partners.
The feature's just the latest example of Facebook pushing the privacy envelope, and many users complain they can't figure out how to opt out of sharing their information. Software engineer Matt Pizzamenti even designed a website to help users navigate Facebook's privacy settings.
It's just an easy scan that you can run on your Facebook account, and it will go through and let you know if you're exposed or not.
The website's called reclaimprivacy.org. Pizzamenti says it's had several hundred thousand hits since it went online last Friday. In a statement, Facebook said it's listening to feedback and evaluating the best way to respond to concerns. The uproar has Facebook in a bind, though. It doesn't want to lose users, but it doesn't want to lose revenue from sharing users' information. Jeff Chester is with the Center for Digital Democracy.
Facebook doesn't really care about the privacy of its members. This is all about a battle over the future of online advertising.
The more data that Facebook mines, the more information it can sell to companies eager to friend us. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, the Dutch government's about to release a smartphone application to help you through customs. Say you're coming into Amsterdam and you have, I don't know, some counterfeit goods? The new OK app will tell you that's a big no-no. For those items that are approved, there's a handy currency converter, so you'll know just how much you can give the Dutch government in taxes. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.